Strength.
You give us strength to face the battle.
Give us life.
You give us life beyond the grave.
You give us freedom.
You give us freedom now forever. You give us all eternity.
Sing it again. You give us strength. Thank you, Lord.
You give us strength to face the battle.
Yeah, yeah.
You give us life beyond the grave. You give us freedom now forever. You give us all eternity.
Should I gain?
I will see the Lord. I will see the Lord in the land of the living.
Hallelujah.
I will see the Lord. I will see the Lord in the land of the living.
Yes, Lord. I will see the Lord.
I will see the Lord. I will see the Lord in the land of the living.
Thank you, Jesus.
I will see the Lord. I will see the Lord in the land of the living. Oh. Still my soul will know I fear no
even
evil, even in the darkest night, even in the fiercest fight, ever still my soul will cry, I fear no evil, even when I have no home, even when they throw the stones, ever still my soul will know I fear no evil. I will see the Lord. I will see the Lord in the land of the living.
Hallelujah.
I will see the Lord. I will see the Lord in the land of the living.
I will see the Lord. Yeah.
I will see the Lord. Lord in the land of the living.
I will see the Lord.
I will see the Lord. I will see the Lord in the land of the living.
I have a hope.
I have a hope that can't be taken.
I have your Spirit here with me.
I have faith.
I have a faith that can't be shaken.
I have joy.
I have a joy that can't be
shaken. Sing it again. We proclaim it, Lord.
I have a hope that can't be taken.
I have your Spirit.
I have your Spirit here with me.
I have faith.
I have a faith that can't be shaken. I have a joy that can't be taken.
What more?
What more could I gain?
I will see the Lord in the land of the living. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
We will see you in the land of the living.
I will see the Lord. I will see the Lord in the land of the living.
I will see the Lord. Yeah.
I will see the Lord. I will see the Lord in the land.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Would you just lift your hands for a few moments and give God praise with me and declare that in the spiritual realm we will see the goodness of the Lord. We will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Hallelujah. Thank you. We receive it. We thank you for it, Lord Jesus. We anticipate it. We expect it, Lord. We're praying. We're seeking your face. Hallelujah. You said, ask and you shall receive, and seeking you shall find, and knocking the door will be open. So we're doing that together, Lord. Help us to stay strong in you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I want you to turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 7. I want to share this word that the Lord has given me today for such a time as this. 2 Kings chapter 7. I just want to read verses 3 and 4. But I would like to for you to keep your Bibles open, especially in chapter 6, verses 24 through 33. I will be referring to those verses throughout the message. 2 Kings chapter 7, verse number 3 says this: Now there were four leprous men at the entrance of the gate, and they said to one another, Why are we sitting here until we die? If we say we will enter the city, the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we die also. Now, therefore, come, let us surrender to the army of the Syrians. If they keep us alive, we shall live. If they kill us, we shall only die. And I wanted to read the NLT, the New Living Translation, for more perspective as well. Verse 3, Now there were four men with leprosy sitting at the entrance of the city gates. Why should we sit here waiting to die? They asked each other. We will starve if we stay here, but with the famine in the city, we will starve if we go back there. So we might as well go out and surrender to the our Aramean army. If they let us live, so much the better. But if they kill us, we would have died anyway. Would you stretch your hand toward me today? Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you for the anointing of your Holy Spirit in this house today. We're asking that you would anoint your servant and anoint your hearers to receive the word, and may it fall on good ground. And Father, may you produce a great harvest in our lives. We're just thanking you for the moving of your Holy Spirit in this house today. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the name of the Lord. As was often the case in Israel's history, as they persisted in their sinfulness, God would raise up an adversary to drive his people to himself. In this case, God raised up Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria. How many of you know that God does not, he's not the author of evil, he's not the author of harm, but he will often use harm and evil to accomplish his divine purposes. And that's what we see right here in this passage, that God had raised up Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, to correct his people and to drive them back toward him. I'm here to tell you this morning that when God is convicting us and God is often allowing things to come into our lives, it's to bring us back into his love. God does not pleasure in bringing wrath upon his people. The only reason that God brings judgment and wrath in our lives is because he loves us and is trying to get us back on the right path, and he's trying to bless us and so that we can walk in the light as he is in the light. Amen? And Israel was under siege by Ben-Hadad's army, and all supplies had been cut off. The nation was starving to death. There was no way out. There was no way of escape. They were vastly outnumbered by one of the most powerful armies in the world at that time. So flight was impossible, and fight was out of the question, and it appeared that fright was the only option they had. This nation was in serious trouble with a famine in the land. Their predicament would probably make the Great Depression look like a Sunday school picnic. And you'll understand what I'm talking about here in just a few moments. They were faced, first of all, with a feeling of hopelessness. Have you ever felt hopeless? They were faced with this feeling. Everybody say feeling. They had a feeling of hopelessness. In chapter 6, verses 24 through 25, the Bible reads this, and it happened after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his army and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria, and indeed they besieged it until a donkey's head was sold for 80 shekels of silver and 1/4 of approximately 1 pint of dove droppings for 5 shekels of silver. Things were so bad that donkey head burgers, if you will, were being sold for $50 a piece. And the only thing they had for dessert was some dove droppings. Anybody feel some hunger pains and ready to go to lunch now? Can you imagine going down to the local restaurant and saying to the waiter, could I have one of those donkey head burgers? And just leave off the dove droppings if you don't mind. I'm being facetious, but at the same time I'm being serious. This was a very deplorable and serious situation they had on their hands. It was so bad that they were actually having to eat dove droppings and donkey heads to survive. That was bad, but it gets even worse. The people were even beginning to practice cannibalism. In verses 28 and 29 of chapter 6, it says, "The king said to her, 'What is troubling you?' And she answered, 'The woman said to me, "Give your son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow.' So we boiled my son and ate him, and I said to her on the next day, 'Give your son that we may eat him.' But she hid her son." It's amazing what people will do when they are desperate and what they will eat when they are that hungry. You talk about a deplorable situation. They were eating their own children. As hard as it may be for you to believe, there's still a worldwide famine going on today. Some 795 million people in the world do not have enough food to lead a healthy, active life. That's about 1 in 9 people on the earth. The vast majority of the world's hungry people live in developing countries where 12.9% of the population is undernourished. That's why I thank God for the food ministry that we have here at the Biltmore Church of God. Would you give God praise for it, and thanks to Kathy for what she does and all those who helps her? It's vitally important, but I believe there's an even greater famine in the world today. It's the famine of the prophet that the prophet Amos spoke of. He said, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, not a thirst for water, but of hearing of the word of the Lord." There is a famine going on, and it's not just about, and when he talks about hearing the word of the Lord, it's not just about what goes into the mind, it's about what we actually do with it, because there's so many people that hear the word of the Lord, but they're not doing what they're hearing, and I'm so thankful today to hear that you were participating in prayer this week. I just thank you, and I admonish you to keep on doing it, because that is where we've got to start as a church. It's one thing to know that we need to pray, but it's another thing to get down on our knees and actually pray, and for 30 minutes, because some of you probably thought, gosh, 30 minutes is a long time to pray. But when you get caught up in the presence of God and you're doing what He's called you to do, and you start delighting in the presence of God, it's no longer about duty, it's about delight. I get to be in the very presence of God, the one who saved me, the one who called me, the one who's changed my life. It is a delight to be in the presence of God. It's a delight to be able to intercede for the church, intercede for those who are in need, to stand in the gap and to feel that spot all day long on a Thursday, 12 continuous hours of prayer, somebody calling on Jesus, somebody seeking the face of God. I want to encourage you to fulfill that commitment and keep on doing it in Jesus' name. You see, our feelings are real and they are important. I shared some of my personal feelings with you last week. Just opened up my heart to you. But as important as our feelings are, they can often be misleading. Are you hearing me, church? They can often be misleading. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." In other words, if you walk by what you just see and what you hear and what you feel, if you're not careful, that can drag you down a road that you don't want to be down. A road of depression and a road of hopelessness. I'm here today to tell you that faith can generate in us hopefulness. Amen? Faith can bring us out of that place, that feeling, because we can't live by feelings. We've got to live by faith. We've got to have faith that we will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We got to have faith that we will see miracles again. We got to have faith that sons and daughters will be born again in the kingdom of God. We've got to have faith that the power of God will be in demonstration in the church again. We've got to have faith that we can pray and seek God even when it seems like everything is going bad around us and the world is going to hell. Can I just tell you today, there's still a God who sits on the throne. He's alive and well, and He's calling His people to get real before Him and cry out to Him in prayer. We've got to get to that place where we understand that faith generates hopefulness. They had that feeling of hopelessness, but faith generates hopefulness. Look with me at verses 3 and 4. One more time. There were four leprous men at the entrance of the gate, and they said, "Why are we sitting here until we die?" Why are we? I like that attitude. I like that mindset. How about you? They were basically saying, you know what? If we stay here, we're going to die. If we go into the city, we're going to die. But we might as well be doing something. We might as well give our very best. We might as well try to do something. At least we'll die trying instead of sitting here and feeling sorry for ourselves. And I believe that's a prophetic word for the church. If we want to see our situation change and we want to see something different in the church, why are we going to sit here until we die? Why don't we get up and do something about it? Pastor, I'll help you. Yes, Pastor, I'll pray. Yes, I'll work. Yes, I'll witness. Yes, I'll try to help you in the harvest. I'll do my part. I won't just sit back and complain. I want to be a difference maker myself. I'm not just going to sit here until I die. I believe that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living again. Somebody help me praise Him. You believe that the Holy Ghost is still moving? You believe that God is still blessing His church? I'm telling you, the Lord will pour out His Spirit. Sons and daughters will be born again. I believe Jesus is coming back for a church that's full of the Holy Ghost and power. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of that. I want to be part of those who are praying and seeking the face of God. Hallelujah. When the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? That's in the context of prayer. Read it in Luke chapter 18. When He comes, will He find you praying? Will He find us praying? Will He find us seeking His face? They said, we got to do something about it. Even if it's wrong, let's do something. They were at their wits' end. They were tired of just sitting around and, I wonder if this is going to be the day we die. I wonder if this is going to be the day that it all comes to an end. How many of you know if you're not careful, you can get, your thoughts can take you down the wrong trail, the wrong path. You see, they had faith. They were basically saying, why should we sit here and soak and sour and in this miserable condition? You know, they could have played it safe. They could have just stayed right where they were. And you know what would have happened if they had done that? They would have died. And so would have a lot of other people. Do you know what these lepers had to do in order to die? Nothing. All you have to do to miss heaven is nothing. All a man has to do to starve to death is not eat. All a man has to do to thirst to death is not drink. If you want to starve to death spiritually, just refuse Jesus. Just refuse the bread of life. Just refuse to pray. Just refuse to come to church. Just refuse to have a relationship with Jesus. You go ahead and have a form of godliness and deny the power thereof. You will get nothing out of that. Nothing. We can learn from their decision. Look at verses 5 through 7. And they rose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they had come to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, no one was there, for the Lord had caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots and the noise of horses, the noise of a great army. How many of you know that the Lord knows how to take care of the devil? The Lord knows how to take care of the enemy that's coming against you, that's attacking you. Hallelujah. We'll get to that more in just a moment. So they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to attack us. Therefore they arose and fled at twilight and left the camp intact, their tent, their horses, and their donkeys, and they fled for their lives. If these four lepers had not decided to get up and go, they would have missed out on the blessings that God had for them. But because they were willing to get up, they were willing to get out, and they're willing to do something about their situation. And God was working on the other side of this thing, and He caused this Syrian army to hear what sounded like an army in the spiritual realm. And they got up out of camp and got out of there as quick as they could and left all of their stuff right there for the people of God. How many of you know that God can make a way where there seems to be no way? He can make a roadway in the wilderness. God can change your circumstance. He can change that situation in just a drop of a hat. In just a few seconds, hallelujah. What seems so hopeless and what seems like there's no way in the world, there's no way, I don't see any way out of this. God can work miracles for you just like He did for these four leprous men and all of those who are associated with them. God can work a miracle. Hallelujah. How many of you know that stepping out in faith and trusting God is worth it? Somebody's already said it. Matter of fact, they wrote books about it. Why would you expect to ever walk on the water if you don't ever get out of the boat? You ain't going to experience water walking until you got some faith active. Take some steps of faith. Take some risk. So what if you start to sink? You're not the first person that's ever sunk down in the water. So what if you make some mistakes? So what if it ain't always right? You know, those people that never do anything, they never experience anything either. So we've got to step out and say, you know what, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to have faith. I'm going to believe. Well, we've never done it that way before. Well, so what? Try a different thing. Try something different. Be willing to be open. Be willing to change. Do whatever you've got to do to grow in the Lord personally. We've got to do whatever we've got to do to grow as a church and to reach as many people as we can and be an on-fire church in this last day, because that's the kind of church that Jesus is coming back for. Hallelujah. Because they got up, stepped out, walked down, and went in, they made a fantastic discovery, but it was a decision. It was that decision to do something about it that made all the difference. Look at verses 7 and 8. And when these lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, they went into one tent and ate and drank and carried from it silver and gold and clothing and went and hid them. Then they came back and entered another tent and carried some from there also and went and hid it. These lepers lived like kings. One moment they had no food in days and were about to die, and the next moment they were eating like a king. Oh, hallelujah. They stuffed their bellies full of food and their pockets full of gold. I tell you that food from the master's table beats donkey heads and dove dung that this world has to offer any day of the week. Can I get an amen? Come and pull up a chair to the master's table. Come and pull up a chair to the master's table. Come and feast and dine with him. Hallelujah. But notice, this was all performed by God. It was God who defeated their foes. It was God who furnished their food. It was God who provided their fortune. Aren't you glad that God demonstrated His love toward you and that while you were still a sinner, He died for you? Aren't you glad that for by grace have you been saved through faith and that not of yourselves? It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. These lepers, all they did was just get up and do something, and the next thing they know, they're eating like kings, and they've just been handed all these blessings. Isn't that just like us? We don't deserve anything that we have. It's because of the goodness and the mercy and the grace of God that we have what we have. We're absolutely nothing without God. Oh, you're very dependent on the very next breath you take from God Almighty.
They were enjoying tearing into that steak, if you will. I like steak. I don't know about you, but I like it. They were eating some delicacies. Matter of fact, it wouldn't have mattered to them at that point because they were so hungry. They were just ready to eat something. When you've been eating donkey heads, you'll be thankful for anything. Right? They were just enjoying this time. They were having a great old time. But then they began to think about all those people still in the city who did not know what they knew, who had not experienced what they had experienced. I think they might have heard some of those babies crying for a lack of milk, children freezing from lack of clothing, and people dying for lack of food. And here they had more than they could ever eat, spend, or wear, and they were hoarding it for themselves. But notice the progression of the passage. Listen. In verse number 9, they said to one another, "We are not doing what is right." I wish more people would have that revelation. We are not doing what is right, because there is a sense of right and wrong that's been lost in the days in which we're living. People don't care whether they're doing what's right or not. But I'm here to tell you this morning, holiness still matters. Matters of right and wrong still matters. Ethics still matter. Integrity still matters. Doing what God says still matters. Living for Jesus still matters. I've had people say to me, "I believe in Jesus." It's one thing to believe in Jesus. Even the demons believe in Jesus. But it's another thing to live for Jesus. It's another thing to walk with Jesus. It's another thing to do His commandments. It's another thing to see the Mohorinda Bahasaya, see what this word says, hear what this word says, and do what this word says. He said, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Somebody help me praise God in this place. Hallelujah. He said, "We're not doing what is right. We can't keep this to ourselves anymore. This is a day of good news, and we remain silent." I want you to imagine for a few moments that they never told anyone. If you lived in that city and you had two children who died of starvation, and you later found out that these lepers could have shared that food and saved your children but hoarded it all for themselves, what would you want to do to those lepers? Please do not answer that. Or let me ask you this, if you were one of those lepers and you chose not to tell anyone what you had discovered and found out later that two children died, starved to death because you refused to share the food, how would you feel? May I tell you, the most selfish person in the world, I believe, is a Christian who refuses to share Jesus with others. You've got the gift of eternal life residing on the inside of you. You've got the lifeline for that person to be saved and for you and I to refuse to tell them, "Oh, that's not my gift." Have you heard somebody say, "That's not my gift"? I'll tell you, it's everybody's responsibility to be evangelistic. You may not have the gift of evangelizing like some people do, but it's every one of our responsibility to share Jesus Christ with those who are lost. It's not right for us to keep it to ourselves. You've been given the gift of eternal life, and you can hand that to somebody else. You can give that to them. Hallelujah. I want to ask you a question, and it's a serious question that calls for a serious answer. Do you love Jesus? Raise your hand if you love Jesus. That's a serious question. Do you love Jesus? Do you love Him? I don't think we tell Him often enough, "Lord, I love You. I love You." Listen, if you love Jesus, then you will love lost people, because Jesus loves lost people. If you love lost people, you will share Jesus with lost people. Don't tell me you love Jesus, and don't tell me you love lost people if you're not telling lost people about Jesus. If you're not trying to feed the hungry and clothe the naked. Because it's one thing to say, "Lord, I love You," but it's another thing to show it in action. Isn't that what 1 John tells us? He who says, "I love," you love your brother, but you shut up your bowels of compassion. That's not true love. True love says, "I'm going to give of myself. I'm going to sacrifice even when it hurts."
They were accountable to share this news quickly because they realized. They realized it's not right to keep it to themselves. And it all started, as Pastor Tommy comes, it all started with the decision. Why sit here till we die? How many of you know that change begins with just making up your mind you're going to do something about it? You have to recognize that there's a problem, and then you have to develop a plan to change it. Right? And that's why as I was sharing with you last week, the state of the church that we're in right now and some of the decline that we've been experiencing, some things just totally out of our control. How many know that there are a lot of things that happen in people's